Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 139 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we're going to talk a lot of different sports tonight as there are multiple postseason events going on right now. In a little while, we'll talk some girls tennis as well as some boys soccer, and we're going to try to catch up with one of the girls soccer coaches as well. But right now, I want to bring in my first guest. She's a senior on the Ankeny girls golf team, and she just completed her high school career by competing in the state meet for the third time. She carded rounds of 75 and 74 on her home course at Otter Creek to earn a ninth place finish in Class 4A. She is JC Webb. JC, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, good. Well, congratulations on a great tournament. That was just a great way for you to go out, wasn't it?
Yes, it was awesome.
Well, I know your approach to the tournament was that you just wanted to have fun. You didn't even want to know what place you were in after the opening round. So did you actually go into today's round not knowing what place you were in?
Yeah, I actually didn't find out what I placed yesterday until I walked off the 18th green today. I looked at Haggerty and I go, okay, you can finally tell me now I'm done. Can't do anything else. And he goes, okay, you were in sixth. So, yeah, I didn't really know. I didn't want to know. I just, like you said, I wanted to have fun because at the end of the day, the scores were going to be what they were, and I just wanted to enjoy it.
Well, yeah, that strategy seemed to work pretty well for you.
Yeah.
Well, you got off to a great start today with two birdies on the first six holes, and you were at even par through nine holes. You know, so at that point, I mean, did it ever cross your mind, you know, what place you might have been in? Because I'm not a golfer, but I would think that, you know, that might have some effect on your strategy, you know, as far as how aggressive you want to be.
Not really. I walked off the ninth hole, and they did tee times kind of weird. So I was playing with other individuals, and individuals went off first today. So I didn't exactly know where I was at. I knew I was going to be close to the top just because I did shoot a 75 yesterday. But walking to 10, we were more just kind of trying to keep the same momentum going. And we might have been trying to be a little more aggressive just because some of the holes on the back nine allowed me to be more aggressive. And it paid off on a lot more towards the back of my back nine, but the front of it, I might have gotten a little too aggressive.
Well, yeah, you had three straight bogeys, you know, to open that back nine, which was your worst stretch of the whole tournament. You know, did you lose your putting stroke there for a few holes, or was it more of a problem with your drives or your short game?
Yeah, it was more my putting. My pace the whole tournament was actually off, and Haggerty and I spent an hour this morning putting before my round, so it helped. The pace on my putting was, I just missed four footers, I think, on pretty much every hole that I had those three bogeys on. So it was more just trying to get my confidence back on the next, on 13, and then after I got my confidence back, I just kind of kept rolling.
Well, yeah, you then responded with six consecutive pars to close out the round and your high school career. You know, you had to feel good about the way you finished up there.
Yeah, I did, and I gave myself a lot of birdie opportunities. A lot of my birdie putts just hit the cup and didn't quite fall, and, you know, that was kind of how it went the whole tournament, and I was just really happy to finish my high school career out on a high note.
Well, the weather the last 2 days has been tremendous. I mean, you couldn't have asked for much better weather, could you?
No, and it's rare that you see Otter 2 days in a row with almost zero wind.
Oh, for sure. Well, now that the tournament is over, you probably learned that Paige Hoffman of Valley was the first round leader with a 67. She was two strokes ahead of Shannon Vogler of Bettendorf. And, of course, Paige was the defending champion from 2019, and she has played, you know, so well all year that I thought she'd be very tough to beat today. But then she went out and struggled to a 76. But that's kind of golf, isn't it?
Yeah, that's definitely golf. And Paige is one of my best friends. I've enjoyed playing with her the last 4 years. We play together in the summer, too. And Haggerty and I went out and followed her last four holes just because, you know, that's just something you want to see. One of the state's top players finish out her high school career as well. And it kind of was sad that it didn't go her way, but I couldn't be more proud of how she played.
Well, Vogler shot a 68 today, and she won the title with a 36-hole total of 137. She finished four strokes ahead of runner-up Riley Hereford of Newton, who was part of your playing group the first day. And Riley, boy, she's a really good player, isn't she?
Riley's a great player, and like I said, I play with her in the summer too, so it's just awesome seeing the girls that you've grown up playing with the last five, 6 years just be able to play so well in the state tournament.
Well, then today, Megan Rieselman of Ames was part of your group, and you guys have played together quite a bit this year, I'd imagine. I know Rieselman beat you at least a couple times this year on her home course at Vinker, but, you know, had to feel good to finish ahead of her.
Yeah, it felt awesome. Megan's a great competitor, and it was one of my goals this year was everybody I played, I wanted to have, not everybody, but a lot of the girls I played against that beat me a lot, I was like, just one of these days, I just want to just beat them. I want us both to have great rounds and it to be a competition all the way through, and that's exactly what it was the whole day.
Well, as you look back at your career, you know, you played in the state tournament three times, and it probably would have been four if you guys hadn't had the season, you know, canceled by COVID last year, but, I mean, you got to be really proud of everything you accomplished over the last 4 years.
Yeah, I'm just tremendously proud. It still hasn't sunk in that I'm done yet, but I'm really looking forward to the next 4 years playing college golf as well.
Now, what are your plans for the summer? Will you be playing a lot of tournaments?
Yeah, I have a lot of tournaments scheduled. I'll be playing in more tournaments that are going to have a higher competition field, so they're going to be more of the girls that I've played with throughout my high school season, so it'll be nice going in and seeing all these girls that I've played with the last 2 months.
Well, then you'll be heading off to William Jewell in the fall, and I'm sure you're looking forward to getting on campus and getting that college career started.
Yes, I'm extremely excited. I actually go down this weekend to sign up for classes, so I'll get started super early when we get down there.
All right, JC, well, congratulations on a great tournament and a great career. It's been fun to cover, you know, all of your tournaments.
Yes, thanks for having me. Thanks for coming out to all of them.
Hey, you bet.
Bye.
All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right, my next guest is the head coach of the Ankeny Centennial girls tennis team, and he has four girls playing in the state tournament over in Iowa City right now. His freshman, Abby Peterson, has advanced to the semifinals of the Class 2A singles tournament. He also has Jordan Gustafson playing in singles and the sister duo of Claudia and Esther Guan competing in doubles, so we'll get an update on how they're doing as well. He is Armando Espinosa. Armando, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good, Dan. Thanks for having me again.
Hey, you bet. Let's talk about Abby first. I did see most of the results today. She came out today and posted a 6-0 victory over Ava Bohr of Cedar Rapids Prairie. You know, I guess Abby didn't have any jitters in that match, did she?
No, I mean, it was, you know, first match of the day. I think she did a good job. Just really, you know, she really didn't have much competition on her first match, so she did a good job getting in and out. Didn't spend too much energy, which we thought that, but going into the second match, it just didn't seem to happen that way because she started cramping a little bit.
Well, of course, Abby has a lot of tournament experience. You know, she's played on some pretty big stages, I think. So she probably wasn't too fazed by playing the state tournament, was she?
You know, I mean, it was different. You know, we played Ella. Gosh, I can't think of her name.
Oh yeah, DeYoung of Iowa City West. Uh huh.
DeYoung, yes. Ella DeYoung, and you know, she's from Iowa City, so we played pretty much on her turf, and they brought in a lot of crowd, and they were cheering her on, and it was just very, very hostile environment, but I think Abby did a great job staying focused and battling through it and got through the match.
Well, yeah, Abby won that quarterfinal match. It was 7-5, 4-6, 6-0 to reach the semifinals. So after losing the second set, you know, what adjustments did she make to come out and dominate the third set, or was it just a matter of getting through those cramps?
I mean, it was just a matter of getting through the cramps first. I mean, I think the first couple games of the third set really kind of set the pace for the final score. But, you know, it seemed like the 10-minute break that we had between second and third set really helped her, you know, getting her cramps under control and having a little bit of a boost of energy to get through it.
Well, now there will be an all CIML Final Four. Abby will play Allison Gillet of Dowling Catholic in the semifinals tomorrow morning, and top-seeded Claire Gua Valley will play Arenady Fernando of Ames in the other semifinal. Now, I know Abby lost to Gillet 6-4, 6-3 back about a month ago. So what is she going to have to do to reverse that outcome?
So she actually lost to her we beat her on the match 6-4, 6-3 in the when we played Dowling.
Oh, did she? Okay. I must have misread that.
So she lost to her on the Valley invite, and she lost it on the 5-point tiebreaker. So we've beaten her twice. We've beaten her at the very beginning of the Johnston invite. We beat her 7-2. Then we beat her in the dual meet, 6-4, 6-3. And then we lost to her at the 5-point tiebreaker in at the Valley invite.
Gotcha. Well, she has to feel confident then going into that match.
She should. I mean, you know, you've come out, you've had two victories over the last, you know, the season over this girl. And so she should feel a little confident going into it.
Well, I know Abby has already beaten Fernando, the 2019 runner-up earlier this year, and she's had a couple of pretty close matches with Gu. I mean, you got to feel like she has as good a chance as anybody maybe to win the whole thing.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, when she won the district, and we just knew, you know, how it was just how the seeding was going to go. You know, because Claire Gu lost to Saley, Saley lost to Abby, Abby lost to Claire. So there was no clear-cut distinction of who should be the 1, 2, and 3. It ended up being coaches voting to declare the seeds. And I mean, I think the coaches did a good job voting because the 4 seeds are still intact.
All right. Well, then your other singles player, Jordan Gustafson, she opened the tournament with a 6-1, 6-0 loss to Pleasant Valley's Lauren Masongarb, but she then rebounded with a 6-0, 6-3 victory over Ankeny's Megan Sommerfeld. You know, do you think Jordan maybe settled in a little more for that second match, or maybe it helped her to play an opponent that she was familiar with?
You know, I think it's just jitters in the first match. You know, playing somebody that you don't know usually kind of has that effect on you. So she was wondering how she played, and she was just very uptight through the whole match. Then the second match, you know, she played Megan, who's a, you know, we've known her from practicing next to her every day. And so it was a little bit more familiarity with the opponent. She did a good job playing with her. And then, unfortunately, she got the loser of the Abby's and Elda Young's match. So it was a very tough third round match. Or second consolation match.
Yeah, those results weren't posted earlier when I looked, so she did end up losing that match then?
Yeah.
All right. Well, then the Guan sisters opened the tournament with a 6-4, 7-6 loss to Isa Valverde and Ella Spanovic of Dowling. You know, that must have been a really close match.
It was very close. I mean, you know, we felt like we had opportunities to win the first set. We didn't take advantage of it. And, again, we were up 5-4 in the second. We lost it. We went down 6-5, came back, you know, to the tiebreaker, but we just didn't do a good job enough to win that. But then after that, they finished with 2 wins, so they'll be moving on to tomorrow as well.
Okay, yeah, I know they're scheduled to play the Cedar Rapids Washington team next, so they won that one, and then they beat a team from Johnston, right?
Yes.
So who are they up against next then?
So they'll play Bettendorf's team.
I'm sure that'll be a tough one for them.
You know, I didn't have a chance to watch them, but maybe a few points. I do not know if they beat Dowling or if they beat Waukee. So I think that they still have a chance to, you know, get into that 5th and 6th match.
Sure. What time will you guys get started playing tomorrow?
So the doubles will start at 9:30 and 1:30, regardless win or lose. And the singles will start at 10 a.m., and it'll be 10 and 2.
Okay. Well, my photographer Drew and I are planning to come over there tomorrow, so we'll probably see you over there tomorrow in Iowa City. Thanks a lot, Armando.
Thank you, Dan.
Hey, you bet.
Yeah.
All right, my next guest is the head coach of the Ankeny girls tennis team, and he has also been in Iowa City today. He is Steve Smith. Steve, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, Dan?
You doing good? It's been a long day, but that's all right. It kind of goes with the territory, so... Well, Steve, you had Megan Sommerfeld playing in the Class 2A singles tournament today, but unfortunately, I see she ran into a couple of tough opponents. She opened the tournament with a 6-0, 6-0 loss to Erinady Fernando of Ames, who was the state runner-up in 2019. Now, I know Megan had at least a few days to prepare for that match. You know, what was your game plan going into it? Did you guys have some strategies that you thought, you know, might be able to work in that match?
Yeah, so she played Erinady earlier in the year, and, you know, Erinady's one of the top players in the state, and frankly, my recollection is she's the top returning player from the last state tournament. So we knew it was going to be a tough match. There were some things in that first match where Arunity was able to take advantage with her forehand on some returns. And so we did work on trying to get the serve to the backhand a little bit more. And, you know, I thought Megan actually did a really good job with that. She competed in a lot of the games, but to Arunity's credit, you know, Arunity's just, she's just good. And so every time Megan would push her and get close to winning a game, Arunity would come up with the goods. And, you know, she'd hit a winner. And, you know, a couple times she hit outside part of the line on a winner. You know, Megan and I have talked about that all year. You clap the racket and say, good job.
Oh, exactly. Well, then in the consolation match, Megan faced a familiar opponent in Jordan Gustafson of Ankeny Centennial. And after dropping the first set 6-0, I see she did win three games in the second set. So do you think Megan, you know, started to settle in and play a little better there?
Yeah. To be transparent, she was a little tight at the beginning of that match. And, you know, Jordan went up essentially 9-0. So she was up 6-0, 3-0. And, you know, Megan even mentioned that she didn't know why she was so tight. She didn't know why she was so nervous at that time, and some changeovers, you know, we just kind of joked around a little bit, you know, just loosen her up. You know, she told me a joke, and you know, it was on my level of bad dad joke. And so we got a laugh out of that. But, you know, she seemed to play a lot more relaxed. Frankly, she had chances to go up 2-1 in the first set, and, you know, it goes back to no ad scoring in the consolation bracket. So, you know, she had some chances, you know, and then it did seem like she was able to relax and just be herself again. And I was really glad to see that, because she's been so amazing all year. Just talent level, class act, you know, just a great leader for our team. So it was good to see, you know, that those last six games were pretty much even, and, you know, she went out strong. So I was proud of her.
Well, yeah, that had to be a great experience for both you and her. I mean, obviously, this is the first, you know, girl that you've taken to the state tournament. So, yeah, it had to be fun for both of you.
Absolutely. You know, and, you know, it's just been a great, you know, couple days. And, you know, learning from the experience and just really, you know, we talked about just enjoy the experience. Soak it up. You're going to remember it the rest of your life. You know, I did. And she enjoyed it too. You know, you always prefer not playing a seed in the first round, but, you know, she made the best of it. And you know, I think that'll be a lifelong experience for her.
Well, hey, I want to get your thoughts on the matches tomorrow. I know I talked to you off air and your plan to stay there tomorrow for the semifinals. I just got done talking to your counterpart there at Centennial, Armando. And, of course, his girl, Abby Peterson, is going to be playing Allison Zelay of Dowling in the semifinals tomorrow. And then we got Claire Gu of Valley playing Arunity. How do you pronounce her name? Say it again.
Arunity.
Okay, there you go. I knew I was botching it. But so we have that all-CIML Final Four, and you're very familiar with all those girls. I mean, how do you see those matches? I mean, do you see any of them winning the title tomorrow?
So, you know, I was kind of happy with how things came out. Abby had a really tough match in the quarterfinals, and, you know, Ella DeYoung's a great tennis player, and, you know, she pushed Abby, and Abby started cramping up, and, you know, it wasn't a great experience. The Iowa City West fans were like 45 of them just streaming out, and it was really cool to see Abby just regroup, come back focused, and you know, just win that out. And the reason I thought that was such a big deal is because I'll just say, you know, those are the top four players in the draw. I mean, there's a reason they were the top four seeds. And, you know, every single one of them is deserving to win that title, right? And so now I look at it and I go, whoever wins, you know, hats off to them. You know, I was actually talking to Brian Peterson a little bit ago, and, you know, the thing I really was saying is I just hope they all just, like, take their game up a notch, right? And, you know, if they all play well, then somebody wins, but nobody really loses, right? You just hope everybody plays well at this point. You know, there's been times where, you know, if I look at the draw, I say, you know, probably Abby's the one that has the highest UTR, and has had a lot of success in Missouri Valley going out, you know, way back years. And then you look at Allison, who's just really, really come on strong, you know, the last probably 6 to 9 months. And so she's, you know, going up that curve and playing amazing tennis. She had a tough match in her first match, did not probably play her best match, but then she came back strong in her quarterfinal match and really started playing the way that she's been playing, you know, the last 2-3 months. So I see that match as just being lights out. I think those two will just be amazing, amazing match, right? And then you look at the other two, and, you know, they're very different players, but they're both very, very good, right? And so, you know, I will say Arunity's been injured this year, right? So she's the highest, you know, returning place winner from the prior tournament 2 years ago, but she's been injured, and so she probably has not played her best tennis, but today she looked really good in both of her matches, right? She was just hitting darts, and she played really, really well. And then Claire's just solid, right? You know, she has all the tricks. She can hit the ball hard. She can hit the ball with backspin. She can hit with a lot of height and take some pace off it. She's a highly, highly intelligent player. So probably a long-winded answer saying, yeah, any of them can win it. And they all, frankly, will be deserving whoever wins it.
Well, it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to getting over there tomorrow, Steve. So, hey, I'll probably see you over there.
All right. Have a great one.
Yep. Thanks, Steve. All right, my next guest is a senior on the Ankeny Centennial boys tennis team, and he helped the Jaguars to a 9-5 record this year, as well as a trip to the quarterfinals of the Class 2A state team tournament. Last weekend, he teamed up with sophomore Caleb Peterson for a sixth-place finish in the Class 2A doubles tournament at Cedar Rapids. He's Nick Mackaman. Nick, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on a great tournament last weekend. Have you been reliving some of those matches over the last few days?
Definitely some of my favorite matches of like all time. So.
Well, after you guys won the district title, you guys went into the tournament unseeded. You know, what was your goal going in? Do you feel like you guys had a chance to place?
Yeah, we definitely wanted to try to get at least up in the winner's bracket, stay up there as long as possible. I know with like Caleb, he has a very high potential to play like very high level, so we definitely saw there's a chance. Of maybe doing very well and going far into the bracket. So obviously losing Iowa City West, that kind of hurt us, but I think we definitely thought we had a chance of like going far.
Well, you guys dominated a team from Valley in the opening round. Did you have any first match jitters, or were you able to get rid of them pretty quickly?
Yeah, I think we both kind of had some jitters for a little bit, playing at such a big tournament, at least for me. I know Caleb's kind of a tournament fiend, going to a lot of tournaments, but at least for me, it was an audience kind of, it was a little bit nervous, but I think I got through it.
Uh-huh. Well, you mentioned the loss to Iowa City West. You guys played them in the quarterfinals, and you lost 6-2, 6-1, and that was the team that eventually placed second. And I know that team was obviously really good. Was it hard to get much of anything going against them?
Yeah, their main strategy is serve and volley, at least against us. And I know, like, the Iowa City West team practices a lot inside, so I know going into it, since we played at Coe, going to be kind of hard, because I think we wanted to play kind of outside to get that little bit of advantage. But they were playing on fire against us, so we couldn't really do much. I thought they totally deserved that win.
Well, you guys then rebounded with a 6-4, 6-0 win over Dubuque Kempstead team, and that assured you of a top eight finish. And then the following day, you came down from 4-0 in the second set to beat Iowa City West's second doubles team in three sets in a consolation semifinal. You know, that was a heck of a comeback for you guys. How were you able to turn that match around?
Yeah, like you said, we're down 0-4 in the second set, and I think we barely scraped by a game to make it 1-4. And I know we had a little bit of a time kind of switching sides, so, and I've been in this position so many times this season, but I knew kind of two things kind of had to change. And one of those things was kind of like our mentality, because going like to the bench, kind of resting, Caleb was kind of down, so I had to cheer him up a little bit. He kind of cheered me up a little bit, and basically get our overall energy up, because once you think the game's over, then it really is just over. And then kind of like the second thing we kind of had to switch was our play style, or like in our game plan, because obviously going down 1-4, something's not working right. So we decided to be more aggressive, and I think that kind of overall carried our momentum into the tiebreaker after we won those six straight games. And then after we had that so much momentum, I think it's kind of helped us win the whole thing.
Well, yeah, I'm sure after you won those six straight games in a row, I'm sure, you know, the other team was just thinking, you know, well, what the heck's going on?
Yeah.
Well, then in the fifth place match, you guys lost to a Mason City team, 6-4, 7-6, that you had defeated earlier this season. But you told me last weekend that, you know, this team was a little bit different than the one you faced before, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. They definitely got a lot better since then. I saw them, like, against Milwaukee, their first match of the tournament, and they were playing very good against them. So I knew kind of going into it that they were going to be pretty hard. And their defense, too, was very good overall. Their defensive volleys, and we couldn't really get much started against them.
Well, you told me, too, that you were starting to feel some fatigue as well, weren't you?
Yeah, going into the second set, because we were down 2-5, and we brought it all the way back, kind of that tiebreaker slash, like, I guess it would be the 11th game, I think, to win that set. I could definitely feel some of the fatigue after the Iowa City West match that went on for so long.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, hey, I wanted to ask about your other teammate, Will Blevins, who was over there. He ended his career with a second-place finish in singles. And I know you were playing a lot of the time when Will was on the court, but so maybe you didn't get to see him play a whole lot. But, you know, what can you say about his performance? He saved 9 match points in the finals against Daniel Liu of Dowling. You know, that was just an incredible effort, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, I'm so proud of him. Yeah, definitely, like, I knew that he, like, definitely wanted to win a lot. So, just going out there and, like, seeing him, like, fight, like, you could definitely just be like, all right, it's over. Like, I could just quit right here, and, like, no one would care. But, like, he just saved 9 match points on, well, I think, Love 40, and just won a game. Like, he was not giving up. So, definitely really proud of him for doing that.
Well, I know earlier in the season you played a little bit of doubles with Will, too. So did it take you guys a little while to figure out, you know, exactly what your strategy was going to be for that district tournament?
Yeah, we definitely had to, like, kind of learn how we were going to play with each other within, like, the first 2 rounds into Valley. But after that, I think when you're kind of matched up with one of the state's best players, you don't really need that much planning, but definitely had to learn a little bit of stuff.
Sure. Well, hey, I also wanted to ask you about the team competition. Of course, you guys lost to Waukee in the quarterfinals on May 22nd, and the Warriors went on to win state yesterday here in Ankeny. Did you expect Waukee to win at all?
Yeah, I knew that Waukee and Iowa City West were most likely going to face off in the finals. And I thought it was going to be very close until I kind of, like, knew that McCundin was hurt. Which is, like, I think obviously this is, like, 3 player, and they definitely needed, like, those wins. So I knew in singles that he was probably going to not do so hot against Milwaukee's number 3. So I knew it was going to be an uphill battle for Iowa City West, but I thought they'd give it a good run, and they did. But, yeah, I think overall I did expect Milwaukee to win that match.
Yeah, they were pretty strong, you know, from top to bottom, for sure. Well, hey, Nick, you guys had a great year. It was fun to cover, you know, all those tournaments. So congratulations on a great year, and thanks for joining me on the podcast. Hey, you bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you are our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, my next guest is the head coach of the Ankeny Centennial girls soccer team, and his team opened the postseason tonight with a 10-0 victory over Marshalltown in a regional semifinal. He is Chris Allen. Chris, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Hey, thanks for having me on, Dan. I appreciate it.
Hey, you bet. While I was over at the Ankeny game tonight, I thought it might be closer, and it certainly was. The Hawkettes won 1-0. You guys had a much easier time. I know Marshalltown has struggled this year. You probably felt like going in that, you know, you guys had a good chance, didn't you?
Yeah, well, first off, congratulations. Hawkettes, that 1-0 win over Ames is a big deal. Ames is a good squad, and so they did a great job there. But yeah, we had confidence going in. You know, when you see a team earlier in the season and you have a lot of success against them, it's going to give you confidence. And, you know, Marshalltown put everything they could into the game. They're a very young team. Their numbers are down this year. You know, and they were great sports. They played really hard. You know, we were just kind of firing on all cylinders tonight.
Well, I know you guys hadn't played for a while, so I mean, would you have preferred to have a game maybe that went the full 80 minutes, or maybe on the other side, you know, you're happy to get your girls off the field as soon as possible so you don't get somebody hurt?
You know, I'm all right with how the game went. you know, we were able to sub a lot of the starters off in the first 10 minutes. And our reserves in this stretch have been just absolutely amazing. You know, our practices right now are just competitive battlegrounds. And so a lot of the quality minutes are just really happening on the practice field. So, my hat's off to the kids that aren't starting for us right now, because many of them have been filling in as we've had some injuries. You know, Avery Porter's been out for a while, just came back tonight. And those kids that are coming off the bench into the game just have made the practices extremely competitive, push players to be better, push the team to be better. And so to get us firing on the cylinders like we were tonight, you know, that's an entire team effort.
Well, I saw a couple of tweets tonight. It looks like Megan White had a big night, didn't she?
Yeah, you know, I think Meg's just continually climbing the ladder. You know, her game is just looking great. She's looking really sharp here. I think she's quite a beast, actually. Just a handful for teams to handle.
Well, I haven't seen too many of the other results tonight. So, we guys get to Cedar Falls next?
Yeah, Cedar Falls ended up with a 3-0 win against Mason City. That matches what we were able to do against Mason City. Of course, we don't know a lot about Cedar Falls at this point, but we'll start doing our research, seeing if we can find some film, and see how we'll match up against them. But that's the next one, you know, 0-0 on the season at this point, and just fighting for another day.
So you guys will host Cedar Falls then on Friday, looking for another trip to the state tournament. So good luck on Friday night, Chris. Probably see you there.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Yep. Have a good night.
All right. My final guest tonight is a senior on the Ankeny Centennial boys soccer team. He was one of the Jaguars' two primary goalkeepers, but he played a key role in the team's postseason success, and he helped us Centennial to a 15-5 record this season. He is Jonathan Stockwell. Jonathan, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing good. Well, congratulations on a great season. I know it's only been about 24 hours since your team lost to Valley in a shootout in the Class 3A quarterfinals last night. Is it going to take a while to get over that loss?
Honestly, for me, probably. Just given the fact that for me, that's my last game that I will ever play for the sport, unless obviously something changes for me in college. Looking back on that, it's not the way that I wanted things to end, so it definitely hurts for me that it ended like that, but all I can do is take it and move on from it and try and live out as well as I can.
Sure. Well, you guys certainly have nothing to be ashamed about. You know, this team probably went farther than many people expected, especially after you were placed in the same sub-state bracket with two-time defending state champion Waukee. But, of course, you guys knocked off the Warriors in a sub-state final last Wednesday. You ended their 46-game winning streak. So let's start with that game first. What gave you guys confidence that you could go over there and pull off that upset?
Honestly, looking at that was honestly the fact of that every other team hadn't really gone at Waukee throughout this year and even into some games last year. And that's really like what our strong suit was as a team, was going at teams and playing the way that we can play and not just sitting in and wanting to go and counter, but trying to take the game to people and make them adapt to us.
For us,
that seemed to work out, and it was a very much so back and forth game with Waukee.
Do you think you guys surprised them, you know, coming out being aggressive like that rather than sitting back?
Do I think that we surprised them? It's hard to tell. I think in some aspects, yes, because I think we definitely came at them more than they thought. But at the same time, I don't exactly think so, because I think, what's his name? I'm blanking on the coach's name.
Carlos, uh-huh.
Carlos, that's it. I think Carlos got them prepared that, knowing Duex and how Duex likes to run his teams, that we would be, at least at some degree, going at them.
Mm-hmm.
And not just sitting back and letting it happen.
Well, you had some huge saves in that game. I know you had one late in regulation, or maybe it was an OT on a penalty kick, and then you came up.
Late regulation.
Okay.
6 minutes left in regulation, I believe.
Well, and then you came up with a couple more saves in the shootout. It just seemed like you were playing with an awful lot of confidence there at the end of the season. Is that one of the keys to success on those PKs, is just going in there with a lot of confidence?
I mean, really hard to tell. Yes, I would say that helps to one degree, but a large aspect of it really is just honestly luck. Going in as a goalkeeper, obviously our expectation is really, or our goal in mind is only to save one out of the five. For me to go in that game and save three out of the six is absolutely absurd. And really, I just play it down to luck that I was able to read everything and see it going the correct way, and that I could get my hands on it and keep the ball out of the back of the net.
Well, I know every soccer coach that I've ever talked to, you know, they talk about when it goes to PK, well, it's just a coin flip. You never know what's going to happen. So,
exactly.
Well, I know Coach Duex tried to get you guys focused on your next game right away, but was it kind of hard to come down, you know, from such a monumental victory like that?
Honestly, for me, it was a little bit. It took me probably two, three days just to, like, finally wrap my head around the fact that we ended up knocking them off. Like, I knew that we could, but it just seems so surreal to me that we actually managed to knock them down. But going forward, even trying to get us back ready, the first day was mostly just recovery for us, trying to get our bodies back in shape from having that much of a beating, as I'll say, on our bodies, as Joaquin was. And just going from there, we were all just, like, really excited, thinking that we could go as far as we could, which we definitely had the ability to keep going past and further into the tournament than we ended up making it. But that's really what it comes down to, is just how we decide to actually come out and how teams want to play against us. And unfortunately, it just didn't work out the way that we wanted it to.
Sure. Well, let's talk about that Valley game. Of course, earlier in the year, you guys had dropped a 4-2 decision at Valley. And in that game, Jaron Obia had a hat trick for the Tigers. So what was your defensive strategy going into the rematch? You know, how were you guys trying to defend Obia?
So in our game plan, hats off to Daryl for thinking of this. And it was a genius idea, was to actually take Evan Larson and stick him on Jaron for the entire match and take Jaron out of the match entirely. So in our defensive aspect, we were, instead of playing 11-on-11, it was instead of 10-v-10, eliminating their best player. And it was at the cost of one of our best defenders as a whole, but we still have enough solid defenders in our back line, and Kruger and Clayson and Quinn, and even in Braden Thiele in the midfield in there, and same with Kellen Welsh, that we still were solid enough back there that we could make it do and defend in a strong way against the rest of Valley.
Well, yeah, that seemed like smart strategy, because when you look at Valley stats, you know, Obia had 33 goals, and I think their next highest goal scorer had like 8. So if you take him out of the picture, I mean, you got to like your chances.
Yeah.
Well, you came up with another huge save midway through the first half, stopping a PK by Obia. You know, did you just have a feel for where he was going to go on that kick, or was it just a lucky guess?
Honestly, that one I kind of read into what Jaron was doing. So as I was getting ready for that one, initially I was actually going to dive to my left. However, while he was still lining up for his, I made the mistake of actually looking up at his head, or looking up at his waistband and seeing his head. And he was just staring down my left side of my net, his right. And obviously, with commonality in PKs, a common thing that most strikers will do, especially at the high school level and even in our club levels as where we are, is they'll stare down the side that they are not going to. So when I saw that, I'm just like, oh, easy, I'm going to my right. And he ended up putting it just down the middle of it, but luckily I trailed my feet behind me and was able to knock it away with my feet.
Yeah, that was a heck of a play. Well, then the game remained scoreless all the way through regulation and the two overtime periods. Of course, that was a much different game than the first time you guys played them. So is that the kind of game you expected in the rematch? I mean, did you expect it to be more of a defensive struggle?
Honestly, no. Me personally, I wasn't sure what to expect, especially with it being on a different surface, being grass this time instead of on turf. So I kind of knew that the speed of play was going to be down as a whole, and the way that the ball traveled was going to be a lot slower. So I kind of, I expected it to not necessarily be as fast of a game as what we're used to. But at the same time, I definitely thought that it could have been a more thrilling game with more goals being scored throughout. Obviously, I was still in my mind trying to keep a clean sheet, trying to keep the balls out of the back of my net. But I definitely thought that our attack, if they played like they could have, definitely could have bagged at least one or two.
Mm-hmm.
But things just didn't fall our way, and we weren't exactly the most ready for the surface that we were on, the crowd that was there at the game. We just weren't fully prepared for everything that was coming at us. And to me, that kind of made the difference.
Well, you guys certainly had to overcome some adversity there in that game. You had to play a man down for the final 23 minutes after Joe Kruger was awarded a red card late in regulation. And I know that was a little bit of a controversial call. So what changes did you guys make, you know, if any, to defend them with one less guy?
Yeah, so at that point, honestly, I do think that at worst that should have been a yellow card given the situation and how Kruger went in to try to win that ball. And given the fact that he did end up actually winning the ball, but I guess his elbow apparently caught the striker's head at some point in that. So immediately after that, we made the adjustment to pull Evan off of Obia and stick Evan back in Kruger's position and then move Brayden Thiele to where Evan was and man mark Obia at that point for the rest of the game. So that way we still kept that man on Obia. And we're still eliminating him from the game and making someone else try to beat us. And then I'm not sure exactly how the rest of everything shifted. I think our center forward started playing a bit more defensively and tucking back in as like a number 10 role. And Emmanuel at the number 10 role started playing also more like an 8 instead of just staying up as a 10.
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys really didn't give up too many chances, you know, after Joe went out. So, I mean, whatever adjustments you guys made seemed to be working.
Yep. It was a sad that's how Kruger goes out, though.
Oh, for sure. Well, yeah, and unfortunately, you know, this time the shootout didn't go your way. Valley won it by a 4-2 margin, and they will advance to Thursday's semifinals against top-seeded Iowa City West. And, of course, you guys played Iowa City West earlier this year as well. You know, do you give the Tigers a shot to win that one?
It's really hard to tell because of tactics and how we all were at the start of the season. Even if you look at our team in comparison to City West and to Valley at the start of the year in both of those games, we were a lot different of a team come this time of the year, at the end of the year, than we were when we actually played them both for second and third games of the year. I wouldn't put it away from City West. They're always a good team, especially this time of the year, regardless of who's with them. Even throughout the regular season, they're always one of those top teams that can always take it to the final and win the tournament. And Valley's also the same way. So it honestly, to me, that's more of like a toss-up and who I think could pull away. From what I do know, though, Miguel for City West, who is one of their main midfielders, he actually tore his ACL early in the year, to my knowledge. And so he's out of the season, obviously. So I think Valley could have an opportunity, but it really depends on how they try and take care of Obia and go from there.
Right, right. Well, yeah, it should be a heck of a game, I'm sure. Well, hey, Jonathan, thanks for joining me tonight. Congratulations again on a great season. A lot of fun to cover you guys.
Yep, thank you.
You bet. I
appreciate it.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. I want to thank all my guests again for joining me tonight. Enjoyed all of those conversations. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.